RTD Live Talk, Detroit's number one late night YouTube talk show. We are live for a Tuesday night edition. Excited to be back. Looking forward to connecting and basically just walking through this whole pretext to the Cyber Polygon event that's scheduled for next month, possibly. And we're getting a little bit of a taste as to what we can expect with all this cyber security, ransomware, jackware, you name it. This is going on right now. Got a lot of articles here. I want to touch on them and then hear from you guys directly. So as always, it's not a talk show unless you have someone to talk to. So make sure you guys let me know where you're watching from in the chat. And then when the phone lines open up, 313-462-0027, we'd love to hear from you directly. And so let's dive right in. And so I noticed that last night, I ended up, you know, basically probably just ranting too much on my end because a lot of thoughts were just coming as people were chiming in and as the calls were coming in. And so today I'm going to try to just cover the headline story, share a quick 2 cents of my own take of everything. But then I want to hear from you guys. So I want to make sure I make the phone lines available earlier tonight. So less ranting, more analysis, and then give you guys a chance to let your voice be heard, because that's the whole purpose in the show, which is to be able to provide you guys an opportunity to share your expertise as well as your knowledge as well. So welcome to the live stream. Looking forward to hanging out with you guys this evening. And before we dive in, don't be afraid to hit that thumbs up button, show your support for the channel. And then hopefully a few more people get notified before we get too deep into tonight's discussion. So welcome. I'll check in with the chat real quick, do a little maintenance on my end, then dive right into this to the articles and just scan through the headlines a little bit. So we got Vu Tran, Tam the, we got Jay Ham in the building. We got JoJo Wave, Jay, Barlight Broker. We got Jordan. What else we got here? Precious Metal are the best investment in history. I would be willing to say that. I would probably say land that produces food might be the best investment of all time, because from land itself, it provides a place for you to park your residence. It provides a chance for you to sow your seeds so you can reap and harvest. And it allows you to do other things as far as being able to generate cash flow, rent it out, you know, make partners. So, but I get what you're saying, though. We got Daryl in the building. We got Jay. We got Mike Ale. We got Mark Carl R says, buy junk silver. Yeah, at this moment, anything labeled silver, if it's real, get it if you can. We got Matthew Ballinger Camden. If I hope I pronounced that correctly. How you doing, my man? Says, I'm sure the ransomware will tank the cryptocurrency like in 2012. I believe that's a part of their plan. And it's on my part here. It's more so wait and see, because I'm not overly sold buying into the whole crypto narrative. I believe, as I always mentioned, it's a part of the agenda to usher us into that solely digital world. But yet, if the whole ransomware cyber attack cabal, this whole organized structured event that we're experiencing now, if it's all designed to disrupt the crypto space, then that right there gives it some validity as far as it being something real that is disruptive. But then again, it could be something that's thrown at us to shake up confidence so that they themselves can drive out all the retail weak hands, so that they can then stack up the bags of projects that they find the most value and use in for themselves. So we will find out. Says, you pronounce my name pretty good. Appreciate it, man. So we got Mike Bruce. We got Dr. Moda King D in the building. We got Mass Free Society. All right, we got Mike L. Okay, so... yeah, I got a lot of things here, and it looks like today especially was literally cyber attack Tuesday. Like, we had universities, we got the government, we got big tech, internet issues, and all this stuff is it's the pretext for what the grand, I was going to use the word grand finale, because I don't, that's not like, it's not, that's not a cheerful moment for the grand finale of all this, you know, cyber polygon experimentation they're doing. But yet, it's going to reshape our world like they already have with all this other stuff, starting with, you know, March 2020 last year, the lockdowns and everything that, you know, came about from that. You know, we're already in a new reality in the most part. So this is just more along those lines there. So before I dive any further, let me dive in, do a little homework on my side, jump right into articles, and then I want to hear from you guys directly. So let's make that happen. And so for those that might be new to the channel, I want to make sure you guys are aware of the fact that RethinkingTheDollar.com is the website where you go to stay connected to all the what's happening with the show. So you'll always be plugged in. So always go back to Rethinking the Dollar if we're ever disconnected here. And then for those that might be new, scroll down to the bottom, how to unplug for the monetary matrix. It starts with the awakening period, and that happens to be testing your current level of awareness on the dollar. And so just a dollar IQ quiz, take that if you're new. And definitely right now, the average is still less than 60%. And so it's a lot of people out there that need to come across this information, because if you go from step one all the way to five, you'll be a part of the community. And between now, between taking a quiz and joining the community and being a part of the people that contribute on these live streams, as well as the Discord page and stuff like that, you'll definitely have already, hopefully, have purchased at least an ounce of something, which puts you in a much better position than the other 98% of the population that have no clue. And they think digits and all those financial products they were sold are going to be there when all this stuff blows through. So just something to be aware of. And then also, we have our off-the-air hangouts for the Patreon group. So if anybody's interested in being a blessing to the channel monetarily, as well as having a chance to co-host with me on screen, off-air, feel free to support the channel, and you'll get a chance to be invited to hang out with us on Wednesday nights at 9:30. Won't do it tomorrow, but be back at it next week. So you guys all be able to do that if you're a part of the Patreon team. So last thing here, best way to connect on social media: Minds, BitChute, Gab, BitTube, Library, Rumble, Parler, Twitter, Facebook, Podcast, Telegram, Instagram, Patreon, Discord, email list. You know, a lot of places to make sure you're connected. I'd encourage you, for those that are interested, the Discord page is where we connect throughout the day. We're on there all day long sharing stuff, you know, talking back and forth for the most part. And then also Telegram. And then if you want to get notified of all these live streams ahead of time, I encourage you to join the email list, where you just put your email address in there. On Sunday nights, Monday, I'll blast out the entire schedule for the week according to what I know. And then you'll be notified, so you'll never miss an episode. So, all right, let's dive right in. So I want to start off by basically just talking about what this is all about. All this internet, all this cyber, all this ransom, all this stuff we're experiencing, it's all lock and step with Cyber Polygon, which is the World Economics Forum's, as it says here, the International Capacity Building Initiative aimed at raising the global cyber resilience. Raising the global cyber resilience. Got to change, switch screens. And the expansion of intersectorial cooperation against cyber threats. Wow, that's a lot of words there. But yet, that's their little slogan there. And this takes place on July 9th. And so we can use this as an example based upon other events that were like just the pretext or warm-ups for the main events. So as we talked about this on Friday, all the, you know, the partners, you know, all the big tech companies, all the too big to fail banks, they're all a part of this. And, you know, this, as it says here, this is just what's going on. They had two scenarios. And of course, out of the two scenarios that took place last year, it's good to say one or two of them things will come into fruition pretty soon. And then you got the partnerships, you got the live streams. So you got people out here actually collaborating on how to execute some type of real world event. And so look at this little video here. You got people sitting at these computers here. It says 2020, the year that has really changed the world, no doubt. And let me actually click on this, because that video caught my interest. So here we got, look at this, just look at this right here. We got a room full of computers. Of course, this might be staged, but more than likely, this could be a real, you know, real world event somewhere on this planet, probably in Europe, I would say so. But yet you got all these people on computers here. What are they watching? What are they monitoring? What are they doing? Could these be the people behind these ransomware, cyber attack stuff? It's a possibility. So I don't know if this is a real scenario, but you know, the global elitists, those that are plotting evil against humanity, they're so bold and brave that they'll actually put in front of you what they're doing, because most people just think it's fake news and not real. And you know, the average person won't ever hear about it. So this could actually be the place where all these cyber attacks and stuff are taking place, to be honest with you. So just so you guys know, because it lays the foundation for everything we're going to touch on tonight, because you all know, of course, if you're already here, you know this is all suspect. Nothing that you see is real. It's all an illusion in accordance to what they want to create for us. So just so you know, before we move forward. But this is what's happening in the mainstream news. And so it says here, this is as of today, Jackware, a new type of ransomware, could be 10 times as dangerous. And so once again, like, okay, so who sat around and made some type of new super high tech malware that is 10 times more dangerous? Could it be the people, you know, in that room? Could it be the people sitting here that have a lot of time on their hands and are paid to disrupt and bring in the world order that these people are trying to do? Who knows? But we'll keep it moving. But it says the cyber criminals are constantly evolving. Okay, I'm sure they do. They have incentive to keep evolving, especially when they're trying to usher in and bring the world together for evil. And what keeps making security professionals up, keeping professionals up at night is the growing risk of Jackware, a new type of ransomware that could be 10 times more dangerous because instead of encrypting Windows computers and servers, Jackware hijacks the actual physical devices and machines that make modern life possible. Modern life possible. What is that? Water, energy, all the necessities of life can somehow be infiltrated by this new version or a high-tech level of malware that's been given a name by the cybersecurity forces, and they're letting us know what's out there. So peep this scene right now. Just take this, just walk through this a little bit. So they're giving us the name of what is 10 times more dangerous than your ordinary malware that you might have on your computer. So they're saying that this stuff right here is the next threat, and it's something that we should expect to hear more of, and how it's going to infiltrate and, you know, attack governments and everything like that. So they're telling us ahead of time what we should expect in the level of danger, because it's 10 times more dangerous than your ordinary type of malware. And then it goes on to say here, let me scroll. Where'd it go? I had some more stuff here. It says a few lines of code can disable a machine. It says malware is generally something that only affects computers, but all over the last 20 years, there have been a boom in the development of tiny computers that aid connectivity and smart features to every type of machine and device you can imagine. So think about that. These tiny computers are known as embedded devices. So I'd imagine these embedded devices, smart malware, whatever you want to call it, it's probably good to say that they're located in all the financial markets, on the NASDAQ, the Dow Jones, all those buildings, SEC, they may have all that stuff impacted. So all of this is ultimately leading towards either the internet probably being shut off because of these type of things here, or the power grids. One of those two, or both, or something of that magnitude is probably what this could be setting us up for, but we'll see. But they're painting a very doom and gloom picture right now by letting us know what's out there. And to let you know what else is going on, we got cyber events happening all across the country and the world for the most part. We got Iowa Community College closed indefinitely following a cyber attack. And this was as of today. So, you know, college going down. Then we have cybersecurity breach paralyzes DMACC network for the fourth day. And I'm not sure if this has came out beforehand, but this is the fourth day. So I would assume there might be some news on it, but it's not mainstream news. This is just something, you know, that came up that I came across. So this is the same place, but it says NYC's 1000 lawyer law department targeted by a cyber attack. So yeah, universities is under attack. Then we have the big one today. This came out earlier today. And when I read into this a little bit, the cyber criminals target Congress. It says 60 members from both parties are left unable to access data. But here's the interesting part: for weeks. And so when I saw this for weeks, I'm thinking like, and it's just like making mainstream headline stories just being recirculated, you know, today. Why today, amongst all the universities and colleges and the big tech companies, why did they choose Tuesday for this stuff to start trending to where, you know, it came across my radar? And so that lets me know that this was a strategically planned event this week to start really building up the case for Congress and the U.S., you know, Biden and all those people, because we got Joe Biden and Putin meeting next week, and they're laying a framework for how they're going to be talking about Russia's involvement in all of this. So a lot of these articles that's coming up next, if you read into it, they all talk about Russia. So what does that mean? You know, the U.S. always has to have an enemy, and of course, Russia can only be the scapegoat for so many things before Putin be like, the hell with this. You know what I'm saying? Let me go ahead and pull the plug on these cats and really expose them for what they are, which is a bunch of indebted puppets that don't want gold and silver to resurface as money because they go to petrodollar system officially. So, but here, just this article here, you know, they've been having issues for weeks now, and it's all about third party platforms called the iConstituent, a tech vendor that provides constituent outreach services to dozens of house offices, including a newsletter server that allows lawmakers to communicate with residents in their districts and service to track, whatever. Okay. So, it's a vendor of the government that has access to a lot of the politicians. They can all access it. And so that's been having issues last couple of weeks, and we're just hearing about it now. Very timely. And then the next one here. This was big right here. Massive internet outages hits websites, including Amazon, UK government, and The Guardian, as well as a couple other websites. But the internet now. So the internet is the mechanism that these cyber events will take place on, because that's ultimately how they're going to get into the communities, get into the buildings, get into the servers, get into the networks, utilizing the internet with all this jackware, malware, ransomware, whatever it's called. And so today's internet issues, I'm not even sure if a lot of these companies or whatever are even back up and running. Let me know in the chat if you've had a chance to check any of those out. Not sure. But then here is another little article here giving more insight. It says, internet outage, which websites and services were hit by the Fastly issue? And so Amazon. So one of the things I was reading through this is about how Amazon, their server network happens to house and to support government, you know, especially the U.S. government, and a large amount of services, including a lot of, you know, crypto type projects and whatnot, are utilizing the Amazon servers. And so I'd imagine if there's some outages there, it caused a little bit of disruption in some networks and probably, you know, create a little bit of a scare. But it says here, choked off the flow of millions of pounds in revenue to corporations, including Amazon, Boots, and eBay. Governments were impacted. UK government says, your website is down. I need to complete a passenger locator from ASAP. So, yeah. So once again, we got the Royal Mail. I think the Royal Mail is having issues with payments. And so no internet, no payment networks, no communication networks, no connectivity, period, which can be very disruptive. But yet I think that's all a part of this experiment here, where you have the cyber polygon people in this room here plotting and planning on how they can, as they say, build back better. And so just a little motto here, digitization tightens the interconnectivity between people, companies, and countries. The secure development of ecosystems across the globe will determine the future of humanity for decades to come. Yeah, the connectivity of ecosystems, sure. And so what does this all lead to? I think this is a lot to do with shining light on the digital asset space. And they want to definitely point the blame on the payment mechanism for the alleged attackers, which point back to Russia. And of course, they want to say they're using Bitcoin. And so from this article that came out yesterday, a lot of things after having a chance to really process this, and how easy it was for, let me actually show you that. I put this up in the chat earlier. It was an actual affidavit that was supposedly served to who? I have no clue. But I found it to be interesting that they were able to serve an affidavit to somebody in order to confiscate the crypto that was reclaimed back by the FBI. And just that alone sounds and smells fishy, because they had an actual Bitcoin address on there. And so let me actually copy link and I'll pull this up here so you guys can see it. So I found this on the internet and I thought this was worth sharing with the Discord community. So for those that might be interested, as I mentioned, always connect with the Discord community. But here is the actual affidavit here. And so just reading through this, I'm thinking, like, what type of shiesty work is this? Like, who put, I mean, this is clearly like, just to me, like, where's the fact checkers? Like, there'll never be fact checkers checking official government documentations and stuff like that, because nobody in the alternative media can ever believe anything that comes from these sources here. But it's just, when you look at this here, you got a Bitcoin address is, you know, about 10 or so digits that are covered up. And the fact that, you know, they have an amount here, 63.7 BTC were able to be confiscated. And I, you know, once again, reading this, not quite sure who this is addressed to and how did they have access to the private key. So what this lets me know is that this is a, you know, I will probably just keep it real, say it's a false flag. It's a deliberate staged event. This is my personal opinion. I have no evidence to prove this, but just when you talk about this stuff, you just, something don't smell right. It's just easier to say, and like, this is where it makes it easier for me to put on my tinfoil hat and just really say that, you know, this is clearly everything. you got governments, you got big tech all working together with the World Economic Forum. Everything that takes place in front of us is a deliberate design attack. So you can't really believe anything that's coming from the mainstream media. Take it with a grain of salt. And so when you have a entity, I think it was one of the government agencies was able to go out, serve an affidavit, and then they happened to have the address, which is public. Okay, the public address is public. You know, you can see Bitcoin is visible. You can see everything, sure. But then how do you somehow, some way, come up on a private key to also be able to extract 63.7 Bitcoin? Unless you were the ones that actually pulled all this off. So unless you set up this wallet, staged an attack, and then had paid yourself into a wallet where you already had the private keys, give it a week or give it a two, call yourself being an investigator, do some investigative work, and then come out with a story saying, we served an affidavit, we tracked everything to the original owners, and then we were able to recover, you know, over 75% of the Bitcoin back. That is not something that is even possible. You know, and another example I thought about was, like, it's the equivalent of, and that's the whole idea, that's how you know it's a stage. Nobody would use a publicly trackable and traceable coin when you're committing a true crime. It's like going into a bank with no mask, call yourself, you know, committing a crime, walking out with the bags, and think you're going to live happily ever after. That doesn't happen because they're coming for you. So anyway, okay, keep it moving. I don't want to rant two more. And so what is all this about? What does this all boil down to? It's about this. It's the fact that the IRS commissioner asked for Congress for authority to regulate cryptocurrency. So all this cyber stuff, not only is it to disrupt the banking sector, to cover up all the stuff that, you know, all the debts that cannot be paid back ever. They want to, you know, basically wipe the slate clean. It'd be easy to wipe the slate clean, say, blame it on a cyber attack. Commercial banks, all that financial products that are just somebody else's liability sitting on somebody's ledger somewhere. Wipe it clean. Start the populace over with zero. And you can blame it on Russia. You can blame it on somebody. People will be up in arms, pissed that they lost everything that's digitally connected to the servers of these banks, stuff like that. And it'll be an easy way to say, hey, we need to go over there to defend our country, our national security interests. We were just attacked, cyber war attack. We just got attacked. Let's go over there and get them. Okay, sure. Americans will be pissed they lost everything, but it'll be justifiable because you can say they did it. That's one thing. But then also, for the last, you know, 7, 8, 9 years now, a lot of individuals that have been participating in the crypto space have been getting, you know, Lambo rich. And so they don't want people to be able to profit off this transition. So now they got to change the rules of the game. And I think this is a good thing here. So this type of stuff here to me is good, because as it progresses, it'll validate the legitimacy of this whole digital asset movement, with Bitcoin in particular. We're gonna really find out if Satoshi Nakamoto was an NSA employee and that whole. And so here's something else. I'm ranting, but this is just fresh thought. And so for those that are tuning in, I start off by saying everything goes back to Cyber Polygon that takes place on July 9th. This is their little homepage website. And so this is whatever. So World Economic Forums, U.S. is in on it. All the government agencies on it around the world, they're all in on it. So this is a part of the plan. These events are part of the pretext for what the big event that's coming. Okay. And so at the very bottom here is this picture here of this room with these people here working. Now, whether these are actors, or I believe it's actually, you know, because they're bold enough to just show you up front, like how they get down. And this could be an actual real-time room of paid, you know, geniuses, computer whizzes in there, literally just, you know, cyber attacking every damn thing, because they got backdoor keys to everybody. Every Android, every iOS is trackable, traceable, has backdoors in it. And every computer, every Windows, every you name it has backdoors in it. So those people right there could be sitting there watching us right now as we're watching them or watching the screen. So that's how connected this is, because this is a part of their plan. All big tech. This is always what the whole idea of free stuff was for. Free apps, free Facebook, anything that's free on your phone comes with you giving up your rights and your privacy and everything else. And the terms of service say that we can spy on you anytime we want, track and trace your location. So we forfeited our rights a long time ago. But anyway, my point was, what's the possibility that these people here are the ones back there behind the scenes causing all this chaos? And these are the ones that are out there, that this group here could be the group that were involved in the NSA and the creation of the Bitcoin protocol originally. So don't sleep on that idea as well. Hope is not, but yet we'll find out. But I had to point that out. But anyway, so this right here, this IRS commissioner asked for more power. So I mentioned this a couple weeks ago with Janet Yellen's little spiel as saying that, you know, she wants to basically use technology now. We have the technology. We have everything in place to be able to really rein in and to really go after the tax evaders and those who are not paying their fair share by using computer algorithms and artificial intelligence. And so this is all ultimately what this is leading to, where they want to basically be able to see what you're doing so they can make sure that, you know, they're getting their cut out of this and that, you know, the people are not getting rich. And then the real reason all of this is the World Economic Forum plus some, all of this is taking place, happens to be when it comes to stuff like this. The global debt rises $32 trillion in 2020 amid this whole pandemic, according to Moody's, which brings the total debt to what we're being told. This is just known debt. It says the global debt higher by $32 trillion in 2020. It brings it to $290 trillion led by government and non-financial corporate debt and will continue to rise this year. And so you think about this. How do you repay back $290 trillion and counting? You don't pay it back. You run it into the ground. You continue to just squeeze the remaining life out of all these fiat currencies. And then you pull off a cyber attack of like no ever before and wipe it all out. Take it back to zero, because basically computer code is capable of returning to zero, because that's how it all started. It was just a typing of some keys. And of course, it's going to piss a lot of people off. But yet this is a part of the game plan. And we'll see how valid, you know, the blockchain projects are as to what really goes down, in particular with this one right here. And if this is able to withstand and with all the attacks and taxation and stuff like that, and remain strong through this, then it could be. Then it, you know, I'll shut my mouth and say it's the real deal. But until then, I'm skeptical. I'm gonna continue to just share my opinion on it while speculating in it, because I'm not no fool. But also, more importantly, making sure I get my weight up. And so that's all I have for today. Anyway, so let's talk. Phone lines are open. I promised you I wouldn't be too long. So I kept it about 20 minutes of just trying to share everything. Let me know where I was wrong. Let me know what I was right. Hit the thumbs up button. Show your support for the channel. And let's keep it moving. So highlight at Rethinking the Dollar, and it'll stand out. I'll jump on it if I can, and we'll move from there. Murray says, what's the Peter T moving all that Bitcoin out of EOS's block one account to create exchange? Just before the collapse and his May Elon tweets. Murray, I'm not even familiar with that one. So EOS and the block one, I was very suspect. The fact that Dan Larimer left to start his own little venture lets me know that, you know, I don't think the longevity of EOS was designed to be something that was going to be a, you know, long-term project. So I believe it, you know, Brock Pierce and all his buddies, they were literally, you know, trying to, you know, they're crypto billionaires now. So at this current moment, all those early projects that were started, especially around the ICO phase, a lot of those companies, if they're not delivering already, then they are already, if they're not delivering and being utilized, then they're probably not going to be around much longer. So when I hear stuff like that, it doesn't surprise me whatsoever. I would be willing to say that a lot of those projects are not worth a dime, and they're a lot of hype, and they won't be around much longer. That's just my opinion. Anyway, give me a call. Phone lines are open. I did miss a couple calls. Forgive me, but I wanted to make sure I got my full rant out while I still had it fresh in mind. Well, let's keep it moving, man. Okay, it says Jen West says federal taxes originally and constitutionally were for federal citizens. Okay, that's some good information to know there. And I actually had an article about taxes, but I didn't get a chance to bring it up, but because it's very interesting, but I'll try to get to it later. Hello, caller. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Yo, what's going on, Mike? This is Mal calling in from D.C.
Nah, how you doing, my man? What's on your mind? Give me a quick thought.
Man, I'm doing pretty good. I think all of your thoughts and ideas that you shared were on point. You pretty much five for five.
Appreciate it.
I just wanted to add my two cents in.
Yeah, go ahead.
As far as looking at, like, for example, the cryptocurrency market, mm-hmm. looking at Ripple and the whole settlement of the case, and,
yeah,
you know, how Jay Clayton really did that at the last moment.
Mm-hmm.
All the coordination, you know, from all angles. Like it's very systematic.
Yeah.
And even the Davos 2020 event last year, I was tuning close into that because, mm-hmm. for example, you know, from investing in Ripple, you're just tuning in it from a side view.
Yeah.
But the stuff that was discussed within it was like, wait a minute, they're giving the play up that they're going to run because they always have to tell you what they're going to do.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to add this guy named Jim Rickards, who I was hip to back in like 2017.
Mm-hmm.
There's a video he put out called The Big Freeze.
Yeah.
He went over basically, you know, a group of elites, about 180 or whatever, you know, when the next crisis happens, Trump wouldn't get in office for a second term.
Mm-hmm.
Banks, you wouldn't be able to withdraw cash from them. Mm-hmm. Exchanges would glitch.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started to see this stuff play out in January, like, you know, with the GameStop, the AMC, the Dogecoin.
Yeah.
All of that stuff started playing out. So I just paid attention. But all of this stuff was systematic.
Yeah.
So I think you're on point. I just want to add my two cents.
Hey, man. So you say that was Big Freeze by Jim Rickards?
Jim Rickards.
Rickards. Jim Rickards, the author of the books?
Yes, yes. Okay. It's still out there. It's called The Big Freeze. It's on YouTube, about 52 minutes. And the guy doesn't say or pause or anything. Like, he just gives you the straight cut. And that was November 17th. 2017, back in the last bull run. But it's amazing because, you know, fast forwarding, all of these events were basically put together through now. Like, mm-hmm. you know, even if you look at the net neutrality back in 2016,
yeah.
you know, these guys were coordinating the censorship of the internet ahead of this election.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all there.
Yeah. Okay. So I see November 17, 2017, The Coming Big Freeze by Jim Rickards.
Yep.
51 minutes. Okay, so I'll check it out, man. Thanks for calling.
Yep. Yo, please. Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Appreciate you for calling and sharing that. I'll wait for this video to load, and then I'll love to find out more about it. So here's a little snippet here of the video. So I'll definitely check it out. I'd like to say I saw it already, but maybe I didn't. So appreciate you, man. All right, let's keep moving, man. Give me a call. Phone lines are open. I want to hear from you directly. Let me get any of my new people out there, people who may not have called in before. You got some thoughts, you know, let us know what's going on in your area, what you're seeing. Let me know what the price is looking like in your neck of the woods. I saw Tony B shared something in a Discord page with, you know, California gas is like, you know, $4.50 or something like that. So it's on the rise, but let's keep it moving. Don't trust anyone named Jim. Okay, Jim, I'll take that. Don't trust anybody named Jim. Oh, my goodness. So Jim Rickards, I always question Jim just because he, you know, he starts off all his little spiels with, you know, I was there on the front line, you know, when the long-term mortgage capital went under, you know, we were, you know, he says, you know, we were 10 minutes away from everything collapsing and I arranged the deal and, you know, we saved the economy and brought everything back. And from that moment, I'm like, huh? Like, so I was like, dude, like, okay, so if you were there, you was a part of it, you know what's going on. They're allowing you to speak, buddy. And there's only so much you can say. There's only so much you can say. It says the new Wikipedia is on the EOS blockchain and it has one completion. Okay, I'm not too familiar with it. I don't really follow. I kind of lost interest. A lot of the Dan Larimer led projects after he bounced from Steemit and Steemit went belly up. And they actually forked Steam to create Hive. And so when all that took place, I'm like, man, they just building projects, solving problems, but then they just leave or he leaves. So just like right now, I think I saw him on Mike Maloney's show. He was doing something. So I'm like, this guy, genius to just build stuff and move on, which is great. But, you know, what is he actually sticking behind to really change the world? Philman says only 1-3% of cryptos will be here in 10 years from now. Okay, that's possible. And so that's what's interesting about the crypto space is that we can guess, we can assume which projects will be around. But when you look at the fact that there's how many projects now, I don't even know how many total coins are there. The market cap right now is 1.4 trillion. And so it's good to say there could be, I would hope, I would want to say that there has to be at least
you know, a good 50 projects that are going to revolutionize the world, but we'll see. Hello, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Mike. It's, this is Gabriel. I'm phoning from Alberta, Canada. Just saying I love your show, giving a shout out. Gabriel, I have a question you. For you, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
What are your thoughts on some of these cryptocurrencies that are supposed to be like private, like Dash, Monero, Pirate Coin? Like, I'm more of a metals guy myself.
Yeah.
But I'm just only considering or looking into it, but I'm still skeptical.
Yeah.
Just want to hear your thought.
Privacy coins, you know, interest me a lot because I'm interested. And that's when it comes to the cryptocurrency blockchain space, I've always been fascinated by the technology and what problems they solve in the real world. So I've always been interested. And so when privacy coins came across my radar years ago, I was in tuned. Because to me, you know, my thought was, is if you're going to really be disruptive and really try to undo the banks and undo the governments themselves, you have to have privacy coins so that really would, you know, that would buck the horse right there because that goes against the grain. And but yet the fact all the publicly visible ones are acceptable and allowed, they just want to regulate it now, that doesn't really disrupt anything. But the privacy ones are disruptive. Now, the quality of privacy, it all depends. But yet you got the popular ones, Monero, and Pirate Chain, you got Pivx, and then you got Cloak Coin, so you got Verge. So there's a lot out there. Will they actually be around? Will they get used? I don't know. I'm waiting on the atomic swaps for Monero to BTC to be complete and validated. But yet I am a fan of them because in my personal opinion, if you're going to use cryptos, I think the privacy coins that are truly private in nature are the best versions of digital cash to me. If you lose access to use a paper note, and you're forced to use digital ledger technology, privacy coins, in my opinion, will be the best version of that because it offers you a chance to do things in the same form as you would with cash with very few eyes on it, hopefully. So that's just my thought.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that. I just, you know, I'm pretty sure it's only a matter of time before they do this big false flag and taking down the internet. I mean, you're seeing the warning signs, you know, almost weekly now, it seems like, and I almost wonder how those privacy coins will hold up after a big event.
Yeah, I think as long as the internet is operating, as long as the decentralized nodes around the world are still operational, and I'm also a fan of proof of stake over proof of work because proof of stake allows you, the individual, to be able to actually earn as you support the network in your own location. So it's not one single point of failure. To where the privacy coins, I know there's, you know, Pivx does that. I think Cloak Coin does that. So there's a lot of projects that have that feature built into it. So you can stake it and earn rewards and have the option of being able to transact without eyes and ears on you. I think those will be hard to disrupt as long as there's internet. So no internet, and of course, none of this. No bank account either. So everything is subject to the internet for now. So, yeah, but we'll see, man.
Okay, awesome. No, thanks for your time. I appreciate it. And, you know, keep up the good work. For sure. I really enjoy your channel.
Thank you, my friend. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Bye.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Good stuff. Appreciate the question there. Yeah, so that's just my opinion on the matter. But, yeah, let's get some more calls, man. I want to hear from you guys. Give me a call. Let's talk. Hello, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Mike. It's Manny from Detroit.
Manny from Detroit. How you doing, Manny? What's on your mind tonight? Give me a quick thought.
Yeah, so while I agree that it's probably good to have some gold or some silver, mm-hmm. as I know that you're a man of faith, mm-hmm. what do you think about the scripture that says people will throw the gold and silver in the street?
That's a good one. It's been brought up before here. And gold and silver, cryptos, gold, land, all the tangible real world items that have been given to us to use while in these bodies are only good for this life only. And so there will come a time where it'll serve you no purpose whatsoever, definitely when you stand before your maker. So between now and then, mm-hmm. God gave it to us as a gift to enjoy. And so it's very dangerous. And I wanted to do a video on this before, but because I think it's possible to let all this subject matter allow us to be consumed with the idea that gold and silver is the end and be all, and cryptos as well, to where we put them as idols in our lives. And then that breaks the first commandment of not having any other God other than our God. So it can be very dangerous. Exactly, so I got to check myself, make sure I'm not falling in love for the tangible instead of the Heavenly Father himself. So, but yet, that's been brought up a couple of times, man.
Okay.
But right, no, man, I appreciate that.
That, man. Appreciate your work.
Yes, sir, man. Be good.
Yep, me too.
Yeah, great call, good question. So here's some, let me share something with you as well, because this is something else I think is very relevant. Let me find it here. This is another, so of course I got to go to the Bible. I want to, you know, make sure I stay close to where, let me find it real quick. This is something that was on, it's been brought to my attention several times, but today it really stood out. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Let me see if I can find it. But anyway, keep the calls coming. We'll keep moving. But I want to find this scripture here that I think is extremely important. Hello, caller. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hey, Mike. It's low blood pressure. Corpus Christi. How's it going?
LBP, I'm doing good. You're not whispering tonight, so I take it the kids are still up, huh?
Yeah, man. You know how it is.
What's going on with you, man?
Hey, man, that last caller talked about gold and silver thrown to the streets.
Yeah.
Tell me what street he lives on, man.
you'll be right over there, huh?
Yeah. You know what? There's a guy, he has a channel called Deep South Homestead. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I'm not sure. I might have. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, this guy, he's a gentleman from Alabama. Good guy. Well, he quoted me some scriptures about gold and silver, and you know, we were like, you know, back and forth on the comments. Anyways, he said about if you could look it up, because I haven't looked it up again.
Mm-hmm.
But he it says something about food, that you can't eat gold and silver, or it like mocks it, comparing it to food. And the way I think about that is like, it's telling you to first get your food and then get your weight up, you know? Like, prepping is a complete, you know, book. It's not just gold and silver is just one chapter of the book, you know?
Yeah. I definitely agree. Because we talk about the monetary, the financial realm, and how the economy operates here. So that's primarily the focus from a financial standpoint. But yeah, we all know, you know, without food, water, shelter, clothing, all the basic necessities to sustain your life, everything else is irrelevant. So, but you need currency in order to acquire those things. And so, but yeah, definitely, you know, if you ain't eating, I'm sure you're not too concerned with, you know, your gold and silver. You're going to spend that right away to make sure you can put some food in your mouth. So, I hear
but
you.
We'll need it, because there's always going to be a need for commerce. You know how it goes.
Right. I understand, man. So I do agree. And that's why I think, you know, as I mentioned about not placing metals above your faith first, as well as your family second, because gold and silver can come again, but family, friends, and your faith, you know, you only get one of those in this life, you know what I'm saying? So,
Well, I don't know. Some of the friends, I can do away with them.
All right, man. Appreciate you calling in, man.
All right, Mike. Have a good night.
Be good. Yeah, good stuff, man. I appreciate it. You call it. Okay, keep it moving. Phone lines are open. I want to get, you know, hear some more voices. And I'm actually, I'm trying to find this scripture here that I thought I knew where it was at, but it's not there right now. But I want to read that in relation to what's more important than gold and silver. Hello, caller. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hey, Mike. This is Evan calling from New York.
Evan from New York. How you doing, my friend? Give me a quick thought.
I'm doing well. I just wanted to, kind of take off from where one of the previous callers was talking about those privacy coins.
Uh-huh.
So with these cryptocurrencies, it just confuses me, because there are different cryptocurrencies that have different, you know, qualities and properties. You know, mm-hmm. Some of them have, you know, they're limited. Some of them are unlimited, and they can inflate as much as they want. Some of them are private. Some of them are public, whatever.
Right.
But what confuses me is that when so much goes into one coin like Bitcoin, I don't know how it can't be a bubble, because surely the competition coins or the rest of the free market is going to come into play, where mm-hmm. if the whole purpose of is to be a currency, then surely why people are like putting money into these things just to hold them so that they increase in value, and that defeats the whole purpose of a currency, right? It's supposed to be a lot of exchange. So that's why I think that these things are dangerous. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you can become a millionaire overnight if you get in at the right time really early, when these things go from a fraction of a penny to like a bigger fraction of a penny.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of stories of people making money of Shiba and Doge and obviously Bitcoin. But at the end of the day, I don't know how these things can't be bubbles, you know? And I don't know why the free market competition would just come in and kind of bring an equilibrium and kind of spread them. And that's why, I mean, yeah, you can make money, but like these guys have got to be cautious, in my opinion, if I might say that. They got to be careful. This is gambling.
Yeah.
I just wanted to give that opinion, man.
Hey, man, I appreciate you for calling and sharing that, my friend. I'll share my thoughts on that too off air. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Bye. Great thoughts there. And so, yeah, and that's one of the things where, you know, using the word currency and using the word medium of exchange, as well as using, I like to look at cryptocurrency space with all the different projects out there. There's a lot that have already proven to have real world use cases that resemble that of literally corporations. And so it's like literally having networks and ledgers of actual real world activity that doesn't have a geographical location. It's like it's just in an interweb. No location in New York, nothing in Silicon Valley. And that's the best part about this space, is that you don't have to have the project located in Silicon Valley, you know, alongside Google, where you are not able to actually be a early adopter or have gotten in early to where you can own shares of that protocol and project in the form of, you know, investing the same way that you would by investing in the old financial products, i.e. stocks. So to me, I have to look at the crypto space and the projects that I'm interested in as me being able to own shares outright without having to go through a broker and being able to hold my own shares in my own possession. To me, that's how I look at it. And then you have the different payment networks out there, such as you got the Dash, you got the Digibyte, you got Litecoin. Those networks are being promoted as being tools to use actually in commerce to spend. Here's the biggest issue. In the time where our monetary system is being destroyed, all the fiat currencies are looking for safe places to be parked to preserve and protect current and future purchasing power. So to buy something in the form of a digital asset and then use it to spend, to me, doesn't make sense when you can just buy and hold it in the same way you would. It's basically digital property, to where, you know, it's like buying a piece of land and you just can't spend land. You can't spend, you know, buy a classic car. You can't spend a classic car. You sit there in time. It appreciates based upon the amount of currency in circulation, as well as just the overall demand for that, if it has demand. So I don't even look at digital assets as currency. Just like gold and silver to me are storages of value that I hope to not have to put back into circulation, because whatever it is, and this is another thing that plays into the tax regulation that's coming, because they've already categorized Bitcoin as property, so they're going to treat it differently. So only when you transact in it, spend it, move it, trade it, is it a taxable event. But if you sit on it, you can use it and leverage it by borrowing against it the same way the uber wealthy do with their wealth, to where they don't actually have any income because they use dividends as well as the interest earned on their investments to use to spend. They don't actually spend their land. Jeff Bezos just sold some stock, whatever. And he took a hit on that. But yet, of course, he doesn't pay taxes anyway, so it's no big deal. But that's my two cents there. I don't see the point in spending anything right now other than Federal Reserve notes. You want to get rid of the trash while you can and buy things or redeem those notes for something of value. So that's just my little two cents. But for those tuning in, I want to get back to that caller that called in referencing the Bible quote, referring to the end times, and that right there, of course, you got to take the whole thing in context, but it's literally referring to the times towards the end when, you know, it's outright obvious, you know, things are coming to an end, when there's literally blood in the streets and, you know, the extreme, which is, of course, coming. It's biblical, so I believe it's true. But yeah, I don't think we're nowhere near that, to be honest, but that's just me. But here's the scripture I wanted to actually highlight tonight. And this is something that I was going to tweet it out earlier, because every day I try to, you know, build my faith up a little bit by literally getting in the word, because this is how you build your faith up. But this is Proverbs 3. And this right here to me is something I always want to make sure I remind myself, that gold and silver are just tools. They're not the end of all. What's more important, as it says here, is happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. And so what that tells me is that the happiest, most fulfilled, the best state to probably be in, you know, as far as happiness is concerned, is when you have wisdom. And with that, you get understanding. Because for me, when I think about this, wisdom in reference to Proverbs is referred to her meaning Christ himself. And so having wisdom is basically you having God's inside God thoughts. And then when you have understanding, you're able to take that information that is beyond this realm, process it as your own, and then apply it to your life. It itself tied in with the blessing, as the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. You know what I'm saying? So that alone surpasses any need for gold and silver, because once again, that'll come with no problem, I believe, if you are operating in God's purpose. But the benefits of wisdom and understanding far surpasses having silver and gold. And it says she is more precious than rubies, referring to wisdom, Sophia in the Greek. So it says she is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared with her, referring to wisdom. So ultimately what this means is if you get wisdom and you make it yours, all the other things you need, your daily needs will be met in according to, you know, of course, walking in love and everything else that God has laid out for us. But gold and silver is just tools. And definitely in its current environment, it's a protection of future and present purchasing power. But once again, it serves no purpose. If you're on your deathbed, I'm sure you're not concerned with where your weight is at. You know what I'm saying? It's all going to be about your loved ones, your family, your friends, your experiences while in this body. So that's just my little rant on that, man. But anyway, with that being the case about the dial back, I think this is a good segment right here to you know, for those that are, you know, for me new to the channel, I like to try to end on some good news. And as I just referenced, I just read the best news of all times. What's, you know, what will make you happy? It's getting wisdom, and with that wisdom, getting understanding, because nothing compares to it. Not gold, not silver. Don't be fooled. It's just something to use, just like paper and currency. And that's where I think here in this world, we get caught up in trying to go according to the grain. And a lot of people, especially in the U.S., and that's one thing I've noticed from all my travels earlier, is that we place status, success to a number. And that number basically was reflected in our possessions, the cars we drive, the house we live in, the clothes we wear. When actuality, at the end of the day, when it's between you and your maker, well, none of that really, it won't get you into heaven, that's for sure. So it's all about bearing fruit, bearing fruit. So here's something I want to put out there to everybody real quick in the chat. And this is something I'm going to continue to harp on because it's being brought to me in my spirit when I'm in prayer, the importance of bearing fruit. And so true discipleship is basically producing fruit, not for yourself, but for the King himself, the Lord. So when's the last time you guys had a chance to share your faith with someone outside of your normal circle? That's something I think that no other channel will be talking about unless you go to your church channel. So how can you disconnect that from your everyday life? Your faith is the ultimate, most important thing that you have. And so whether you believe in Christ or whether you believe in something else, ultimately, there's principles that are in alignment with every belief, and everything ultimately goes back to the Bible. That's where our country ultimately was founded upon, in a sense. But anyway, so when's the last time you shared your faith? That's something that I try to keep in mind and actually try to ask the Holy Spirit to always make sure I'm open to a good conversation with somebody, just to point them to the Creator. You know what I'm saying? That's just my job. I'm just a messenger. That's all. I'm just a messenger. I'm not the Savior. So I can point you to the guy who changed my life, and hopefully he does the same for you. But yet everybody will get a chance to be called, but few are chosen, unfortunately. So anyway, people, that's all she wrote. I'm not going to do no more preaching. Just want to share with you my two cents. I'm curious to find out if we got any other people out there that love sharing their faith as well. Let me see here. It says, Hank says, hey, Mike, check out Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 8, verse 13. Okay, real quick, I could do that. I like that. Let me go ahead and let me go back here. Proverbs 1, chapter 1. Let's go to verse 8 real quick. All right, so we'll see what we got here. It says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Obedience. Yeah, that's key. Let's get to another one. Let's go to that Proverbs 8:13. I would think that was. Let's go to 8. And then let's go to 13 and see what that's about. Even dial back. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Yeah, I wish Washington, D.C. hated evil. I wish Hollywood hated evil. I wish Wall Street hated evil. But yet, once again, society, especially in this current day and age, they embrace evilness, you know. And there's a psalm, I think it is. It's a proverb as well that talks about woe to a nation that, you know, exalts, you know, sin or something like that. And then, of course, blessed is a nation that whose God is the Lord. So, yeah. Anyway, man, this is some good stuff. I appreciate those insights there. And so Barlett Brooks says, I work for God. I said, interesting, not enlightening. All right, people. So yeah, the world loves evil. It's unfortunate because think about it. Right now, everything that I talked about today is just the natural manifestations of what's happening behind the scenes, because everything we're experiencing, it's spiritual warfare. We got the power of darkness versus the kingdom of God. The enemy trying to basically portray himself as God. So that's why we got all the delusional stuff coming with the UFOs, the aliens, And of course, the one world government's coming together, and out of Europe, they're going to have a single entity that's going to call himself being the savior himself. He's going to go to Jerusalem when they build a third temple, try to sit on the throne, defile the temple. And then, so, for those that are in the Bible, we know how this plays out, but those that are in Christ wins, you know what I'm saying? And we overcome by the words of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. The blood's already been shed for our sins. So if you're in Christ, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. So hold your head up high, because you're on the winning side, my people. Anyway, let's end this on a good note. I appreciate you guys for hanging out with me tonight. And I'd like to end with a little bit of prayer. We got a lot of good scripture here tonight to hang it on tonight. So let's pray for wisdom and understanding, so we all can live lives that produce fruit that will last for eternity. Because that's the biggest thing. Like I was mentioning earlier, that the ultimate currency that really changes the game is faith. That's the ultimate currency. Everything else is just stuff you use in a short term, just tangible stuff you can feel, whatever. But yet your faith is what's going to really matter the most, because that's going to control your moods and your manners when you are in the midst of trouble, chaos, or happy or sad. So, and then, of course, the most valuable asset on this planet is the human soul. And that's why those that are believers, that's why we're responsible for, once we're awake and aware, we call ourselves believers in Christ, that automatically makes us disciples, whether we want to be or not. But we're then called to share the good news, which is to repent, because the kingdom of God is here. Where is the kingdom of God? The Bible says it's inside of us through his spirit. So we are literally walking ambassadors for Christ right now. And so I want to be mindful of my job. Hopefully you guys are as well, and we can encourage one another. Okay, so with that being the case, people, let's bow our heads real quick for those who want to pray with me. And just come before the Lord and just thank him for another opportunity to talk about him and to lift him up right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together tonight as a community. Father, we lift you up right now. We thank you, Father, that your kingdom is here inside of us, Father, through your spirit. We thank you, Father, that you've given us the spirit of power, not of fear. Father, we thank you that we have a comforter. We have a helper inside of us that will lead and guide us. Father, we ask for wisdom right now and understanding, so that we can navigate our lives to be a blessing to others, as well as to help bring about your kingdom on this earth. Father, we thank you in advance for all that you have done in our lives. We ask you continue to bless us, promise, keep us safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. In the name of Jesus, the King. Amen. Thank you. All right, people, that's all she wrote. Put on the whole armor. There you go, man. Whew. Whenever I get done praying, I just feel charged up. I feel excited. Maybe want to go some more, but I don't want to bore you guys. But anyway, people, be blessed, be safe. Hope you guys had a good evening. Hope you guys enjoyed the back and forth. Hit the thumbs up button, show your support for the channel. And then what I'm trying to do, for those that are interested, I want to try to reach out to more people, but yet the algorithms, they're not my friend. So it's dependent upon the community. So if you guys feel led to share these videos, and then I'm also follow me on Twitter, because I'm putting stuff out there, retweet stuff, share stuff, and just give people an option to be able to see what's going on, so they can question what's being told to them, so that they can have have the ability to critically think what's going on and hopefully make the best decision, of course, as they're led. So, Blunt News, appreciate that super sticker, my friend. Thank you for the blessing. Thank you. Loving Life. Appreciate you, my young lady. Thank you. So, Loving Life Fight Out. Thank you. I appreciate that love offering. All right, people, with that being the case, be blessed, be safe. I want to make sure I remind you guys, for those that are interested, and if you want to participate and support the channel, Get Your Weight Up Round is still available. It's something that is doing quite well, and it's, once again, it's one of them things where it's rare and unique, and it definitely will hold some value long term. So it's an option if you guys are interested. All that information down below. Be blessed, be safe. Peace.